Chapter 3. HMS Foudroyant, being an humble address to Her Majesty's naval advisers, who sold Nelson's old flagship to the Germans for £1,000. ... Who says the nation's purse is lean, who fears for claim or bond or debt, when all the glories that have been are scheduled as a cash asset. If times are black, and trade is slack, if coal and cotton fail at last, we've something left to barter, yet our glorious past. There's many a crypt in which lies hid the dust of statesman or of king. There's Shakespeare's home to raise a bid, and Milton's house its price would bring. What for the sword that Cromwell drew? What for Prince Edward's coat of mail? What for our Saxon Alfred's tomb? They're all for sale. And stone and marble may be sold which serve no present daily need. There's Edward's Windsor, labeled old, and Wolsey's palace, guaranteed. St. Clement Danes and 50 fanes, the tower and the temple grounds, how much for these? Just price them, please, in British pounds. You hucksters, have you still to learn the things which money will not buy? Can you not read that? Cold and stern as we may be, there still does lie deep in our hearts a hungry love for what concerns our island story. We sell our work, perchance our lives, but not our glory. Go barter to the knacker's yard the steed that has outlived its time. Send hungry to the pauper ward the man who served you in his prime. But when you touch the nation's store, be broad your mind and tight your grip. Take heed, and bring us back once more our Nelson's ship. And if no mooring can be found in all our harbors near or far, then tow the old three-decker round to where the deep-sea soundings are. There, with her pennon flying clear, and with her ensign lashed peak high, sink her 1,000 fathoms sheer. There let her lie. The Farnshire Cup. Christopher Davis was up upon Mavis and Sammy McGregor on Flo, Joe Chauncey rode Spider, the rankest outsider, but he'd make a wooden horse go. There was Robin and Lee and Bedicia, and Chesterfield son of the sea, and Irish Nuneaton, who never was beaten, they backed her at 7-3. The course was the devil. A start on the level, and then a stiff breather uphill, a bank at the top with a 4-foot drop, and a bullfinch down by the mill. A stretch of straight from the Woodlesia gate, then up and down and up, and the mounts that stay through Farnshire clay may bid for the Farnshire Cup. The tipsters were touting, the bookies were shouting bar one, bar one, bar one. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with a glint and a glimmer of silken shimmer the field shone bright in the sun, when Farmer Brown came riding down. I ain't much time to spare, but I've entered her name, so I'll play out the game, on the back o' my old gray mare. You never would think her a thoroughbred clinker, there's never a judge that would. Each leg bend as a splint, you'll find, and the four are none too good. She roars a bit, and she don't look fit, she's molted alfer air. But, apostrophe, he smiled in a way that seemed to say that he knew that old gray mare. And the bookies laughed and the bookies chaffed, who backs the mare? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried they. 100-1. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it's done, and done. Apostrophe, we'll take that price all day. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what if the mare is shedding hair? What if her eye is wild? We read her worth and her pedigree birth in the smile that her owner smiled. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and the whisper grew, and the whisper flew, that she came of a sonomy stock. 50-1. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it's done, and done. Look at her haunch and hock. Ill-groomed. Why yes, but one may guess, that that is her owner's guile. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, Farmer Brown, the sharps from town, have read your simple smile. They've weighed them in. Now lose or win, I've money at stake this day. Gee long, my sweet, and if we're beat, we'll both do all we may. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he joins the rest, they line abreast, back lee. Mavis up. Apostrophe, the flag is dipped, and the field is slipped, full split for the Farnshire Cup. Christopher Davis is leading on Mavis, Spider is waiting on Flo, Bedicia is gaining on Lee, Irish Nuneaton lies low. Robin is tailing, his wind has been failing, son of the sea's going fast. So crack on the pace, for it's anyone's race, and the winner's the horse that can last. Chestnut and bay, and sorrel and gray, see how they glimmer and gleam. Bending and straining, and losing and gaining, silk jackets flutter and stream. They are over the grass as the cloud shadows pass, they are up to the fence at the top. It's hay then. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and over, and into the clover, there wasn't one slip at the drop. They are all going still, they are round by the mill, they are down by the Woodlesia gate. Lee's complaining, and Mavis is gaining, and Flo's catching up in the straight. Robin's gone wrong, but the spider runs strong, he sticks to the leader like wax. Another outsider, but look at his rider Joe Chauncey, the pick of the cracks. Robin was tailing, and pecked at a paling, Lee's gone weak in her feet. Bodicea came down at the railing, son of the sea is dead beat. Leather to leather, they're pounding together, three of them all in a row. And Irish Nuneaton, who never was beaten, is level with Spider and Flo. It's into the straight from the Woodlesia gate, clean galloping over the green, but 4 foot high the hurdles lie with a sunken ditch between. Tis a bit of a test for a beast at its best, and the devil and all at its worst. But it's clear run in with the cup to win for the horse, that is over it first. So try it, my beauties, and fly it, my beauties, Spider, Nuneaton, and Flo. With a trip and a blunder there's one of them under, hark to it crashing below. Is it the brown, or the sorrel that's down? The brown. It is Flo who is in. And Spider with Chauncey, the pick of the fancy, is going full split for a win. Spider is winning. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Joe Chauncey is winning. Apostrophe, he's winning. He's winning. Bravo. Apostrophe, the bookies are raving, the ladies are waving, the stand is all shouting for Joe. The horse is clean done, but the race may be won by the Newmarket lad on his back. For the fire of the rider may bring an outsider ahead of a thoroughbred crack. Spider is winning. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Joe Chauncey is winning. Apostrophe, it swells like the roar of the sea. But Joe hears the drumming of somebody coming, and sees a lean head by his knee. Nuneaton. Nuneaton. The spider is beaten. Apostrophe, it is but a spurt at the most. For lose it or win it, they have but a minute, before they are up with the post. Nuneaton is straining, Nuneaton is gaining, neither will falter nor flinch. Whips they are plying, and jackets are flying, they're fairly abreast to an inch. Crack em up. Let em go. Well ridden. Bravo. Apostrophe, gamer ones never were bred. Joe Chauncey has done it. He's spurted. He's won it. Apostrophe, the favorites beat by a head. Don't tell me of luck, for it's judgment and pluck and a courage that never will shirk. To give your mind to it, and know how to do it, and put all your heart in your work. So here's to the spider, the winning outsider, with little Joe Chauncey up. May they stay life's course, both jockey and horse, as they stayed in the Farnshire Cup. But it's possible that you are wondering what may have happened to Farmer Brown, and the old gray croc of a Sonomy stock who was backed by the sharps from town. She blew and she sneezed, she coughed and she wheezed, she ran till her knees gave way. But never a grumble, a trip, or a stumble was heard from her jock that day. For somebody laid against the gray, and somebody made a pile, and Brown says he can make farming pay, and he smiles a simple smile. Them sharps from town were riled, apostrophe, says Brown, but I can't see why, can you? For I said quite fair as I knew that mare, and I proved my words was true. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the groom's story. 10 mile in 20 minutes. He done it, sir. That's true. The big bay horse in the further stall, the one what's next to you. I've seen some better horses. I've seldom seen a wuss, but he holds the bloomin' record, and that's good enough for us. We knew as it was in him. He's thoroughbred, three part, we bought him for to race him, but we found he had no eart, for he was sad and thoughtful, and amazin' dignified. It seemed a kind o' liberty to drive him or to ride, for he never seemed a thinkin' of what he had to do, but his thoughts was set on higher things, admirin' of the view. He looked a perfect picture, and a picture he would stay. He wouldn't even switch his tail to drive the flies away. And yet we knew it was in him. We knew as he could fly. But what we couldn't get at was how to make him try. We'd almost turned the job up, until at last one day we got the last yard out of him in a most amazing way. It was all along O Master, which Master is the name of a reglar true blue sportman, and always acts the same. But we all was weaker moments, which Master he had one, and he went and bought a motor car when motor cars begun. I see that in the stable yard, it fairly turned me sick, a greasy, wheezy engine as can neither buck nor kick. You've a screw to drive it forward, and a screw to make it stop, for it was foaled in a smiley stove, and bred in a blacksmith shop. It didn't want no stable, it didn't ask no groom, it didn't need no nothing but a bit o' standing room. Just fill it up with paraffin, and it would go all day, which the same should be agin the law, if I could have my way. Well, Master took his motor car, and motored here and there, a-frightening the horses and a-poisoning the air. He wore a bloomin' yachtin' cap, but lor, what did he know, except that if you turn a screw the thing would stop or go. And then one day it wouldn't go. He screwed and screwed again, but something jammed, and there he stuck in the mud of a country lane. It hurt his pride most cruel, but what was he to do? So at last he bade me fetch a horse, to pull the motor through. This was the horse we fetched him, and when we reached the car, we braced him tight and proper to the middle of the bar, and buckled up his traces, and lashed them to each side, while he held his eat so oddly, and looked most dignified. Not bad-tempered, mind you, but kind of pained and vexed, and he seemed to say, well, blimey, what will they ask me next? I've put up with some liberties, but this caps all by far, to be assistant engine to a crocky motor car. Well, Master he was in the car, a-fiddling with the gear, and the horse was meditating, and I was standing near, when Master he touched something, what it was we'll never know, but it sort o' spurred the boiler up, and made the engine go. Old ard, old gal, says Master, and gently then, says I, but an engine won't need coaxin', and it ain't no use to try. So first he pulled a lever, and then he turned a screw, but the thing kept crawling forward spite of all that he could do. And first it went quite slowly, and the horse went also slow, but he had to buck up faster, when the wheels began to go, for the car kept crowding on him, and butting him along, and in less than half a minute, sir, that horse was going strong. At first he walked quite dignified, and then he had to trot, and then he tried a canter, when the pace became too hot. He looked as very oddiest, as if he didn't mind, and all the time the motor car was pushing him bend. Now, Master lost his head, when he found he couldn't stop, and he pulled a valve or something and something else went pop, and something else went fizzwas, and in a flash, or less, that blessed car was going like a limited express. Master held the steering gear, and kept the road all right, and away they whizzed and clattered, my aunt, it was a sight. He seemed the finest draft horse as ever lived by far, for all the country juggins thought was him what pulled the car. He was stretching like a greyhound, he was going all he knew, but it bumped and shoved bent him, for all that he could do. It butted him, and boosted him, and spanked him on ad, till he broke the 10-mile record, same as I already said. 10 mile in 20 minutes. He done it, sir. That's true. The only time we ever found what that ear horse could do. Some say it wasn't hardly fair, and the papers made a fuss, but he broke the 10-mile record, and that's good enough for us. You see that horse's tail, sir? You don't. No more do we, which really ain't surprising, for he has no tail to see. That engine wore it off him before Master made it stop, and all the road was littered like a bloomin' barber's shop. And Master? Well, it cured him. He altered from that day, and come back to his horses in the good old-fashioned way. And if he wants to get the sack, the quickest way by far is to end as how you think he ought to keep a motor car, with the chitting folds. The horse is bedded down where the straw lies deep. The hound is in the kennel, let the poor hound sleep. and the fox is in the spinney by the run which he is haunting, and I'll lay an even guinea that a goose or two is wanting when the farmer comes to count them in the morning. The horse is up and saddled, girth the old horse tight. The hounds are out and drawing in the morning light. Now it's yoick. Apostrophe apostrophe among the heather, and it's yoick. Apostrophe apostrophe across the clover, and it's to him, all together. Apostrophe apostrophe hike a Bertha. Hike a Rover. Apostrophe and the woodland smell so sweetly in the morning. There's termagant a-whimpering, she whimpers so. Apostrophe apostrophe there's a young hound yapping. Apostrophe apostrophe let the young hound go. But the old hound is cunning, and it's him we mean to follow. They are running. They are running. And it's forward to the hollow. Apostrophe apostrophe for the scent is lying strongly in the morning. Who's the fool that heads him? Apostrophe apostrophe hold hard, and let him pass. He's out among the osiers, he's clear upon the grass. You grip his flanks and settle, for the horse is stretched and straining. Here's a game to test your mettle, and a sport to try your training, when the chitting foals are running in the morning. We're up by the coppice, and we're down by the mill, we're out upon the common, and the hounds are running still. You must tighten on the leather, for we blunder through the bracken. Though you're over oxen heather, still the pace must never slacken as we race through Thursley Common in the morning. We are breaking from the tangle, we are out upon the green. There's a bank and a hurdle with a quickset between. You must steady him and try it, you are over with a scramble. Here's a waddle. You must fly it, and you land among the bramble, for it's roughish, toughish going in the morning. Where the bog by the grove as you pound through the slush. See the whip. See the huntsman. We are close upon his brush. Where the root that lies before you. It will trip you if you blunder. Where the branch that's drooping o'er you. You must dip and swerve from under as you gallop through the woodland in the morning. There were 50 at the find. There were 40 at the mill. There were 20 on the heath. And 10 are going still. Some are pounded, some are shirking, and they dwindle, and diminish till a weary pair are working, spent and blowing, to the finish, and we hear the shrill woo-ooping in the morning. The horse is bedded down where the straw lies deep, the hound is in the kennel, he is yapping in his sleep. But the fox is in the spinney lying snug in earth and burrow. And I'll lay an even guinea we could find again tomorrow, if we chose to go a-hunting in the morning. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.